Good afternoon. Thank you for joining me on Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino. Hashtag No Limits is about people who society has placed limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not what we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, the caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells and then reforms into the butterfly. As if that's not enough, then in order for it to be able to fly, it has to struggle to get out of the cocoon. So none of that can be easy, but neither is busting through limits that society has placed upon a person. And today, I am so excited. About a month ago, I was at the Master IEP VIP weekend in Milwaukee, and there were these amazing little devices that we were shown and allowed to play with. And I wanted to learn more about them and more about who designed them. And so that is my guest today, Parker Lynch. Thank you for joining me. How are you doing?
Thanks so much for having me. First off, Shelley, it's an honor to be here. I'm doing great. Entering back to school time here. So just kind of buckling down, trying to spread the word about the Hogwarts far and wide, and just, you know, trying to let educators and parents know about these cool devices that that we've created. And they seem to, you know, so far getting rave reviews and people are loving them. So yeah, it's just, you know, my job to get out there, pound the pavement, try to let people know about the Hogwarts.
Yeah, they are so cool. So tell me about yourself and then sort of how the Hoglet came to fruition.
Yeah. So I changed careers. I used to do search engine optimization, essentially trying to rank web pages higher on Google. I switched careers, always wanted to be a teacher and a special education teacher. My mom kind of always thought that was my calling. So I decided to give it a shot. I ended up luckily getting hired by a school, a international school in Thailand with zero experience to teach kindergarten. And, you know, it was the best experience of my life. So lucky it happened. I learned so much in those first 2 years just by like kind of being thrown into the fire. And really the big part about that was there was no budget at the school. So we had to create all sorts of learning games to get really creative. Luckily, I had some, you know, great peers to lean on, some really good role models there. And they, you know, it was like an open door policy. They allowed me to come in, check out all the cool games that they had created. So I kind of like picked apart a little bit from this game, a little bit from this game, created my own educational games. And that's really where I started to really get into gamification of education. And then after that point, I was there for 2 years teaching, and, you know, I missed being home, missed being back in Detroit. So with all my family, I moved back, and then I got into NYU. I ended up getting my double master's in special ed and childhood ed. And the great thing about NYU is they really, you know, they're very much about, you know, moving you around, you know, Manhattan and the other boroughs, and having you basically teach a whole bunch of different demographics of kids. So lots of unique learners, lots of cool tech that I got to see in place in the classroom. So that's really like kind of where the passion came behind creating Hedgehog Health and the Hoglet.
Yeah. So that's so cool. So I want to kind of circle back a little bit. So you talked about the fact that when you were in Thailand, you had no curriculum. You had to sort of invent a lot of things for your students. That's really not all that unusual from even special ed teachers here in the United States. And I want to talk about that for just a minute. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I think it's important for families and society in general to understand that when you go into a classroom as a special education teacher, you literally have nothing. And you can't really have a lot of things because all of your students are individualized and you do want to address the needs of each of your individual students. But like, there's not even generic things, you know, like, hey, this is what the fourth grade curriculum is, or this is what second grade is. I mean, there's, I can't tell you how many classrooms I've walked into, my own or other teachers, that there was nothing. There's nothing on the walls. There's, you know, I spent thousands of dollars in my career on purchasing things, and the school gave me some of that money to do that. But for the most part, you know, it was my own money. Did you find that in Thailand? So was it an actual school supported by the Thai government, or was it a school that was like an American school in Thailand?
It was an international school in Thailand. It was a private school, one of the less expensive private schools in Bangkok, as far as I was aware at the time. And yeah, we, I mean, it was full on, you know, you're very bare bones. I mean, no air conditioning. You're teaching barefoot. Like,
wow.
And I had some visa issues. I arrived late. So I ended up missing orientation because of my visa issues, and you know, totally jet lagged. Had never been to Asia before, and not, knew very little. I made this decision to go to Thailand. Like, it was basically a 2 week lead time there. So I really didn't know much about the culture. I didn't really so it was a real shock for me. And yeah, to answer your question, and it was bare bones. Like there was not much there, but luckily. Again, you know, like as you said, this is a commonality I think across the world with special education teachers. I mean, you have to teach to the individual. I learned that really quickly. I always knew that I was a different learner just based on, you know, growing up and different teachers. Sometimes, you know, actually having really great luck with teachers where they found a way to reach me. But, you know, you always occasionally have a teacher who's kind of just has just kind of a vanilla lesson plan that is supposed to, everyone's supposed to learn that way. And that just never worked for me. So I kind of knew deep down inside, even before I started teaching, that, you know, I learned differently. I actually learned as an adult that I have severe ADHD, and it was undiagnosed through childhood, but, you know, I always knew I needed some extra visuals and, you know, so some tools and tricks to help me learn and memorize things. And so, yeah, just that, I think that's a common theme, like you said. And that's why special education teachers and teachers in general are so great, so underpaid, undervalued. And I think as a society, we really need to change that. It's, you know, teachers are just so special to me, even though I'm out of the technically like out of the field, I'm not in the classroom anymore. I have nothing but respect for teachers.
Yeah. And as you can see, I am also a teacher. And so I wholeheartedly agree that, you know, our teachers deserve, especially after the last few years during the pandemic, that the teachers do absolutely more pay, more respect, more appreciation. And what I do now as an education consultant is typically I work with parents who have a child going through the special education process, but I'm not against the school system when I'm working with the parents. You know, I'm trying to be collaborative and trying to help parents understand there's a lot going on in a teacher's world that often isn't considered or given the kudos, you know, that it deserves. But then I also tell teachers, like, there's a lot going on in a family who have a child or, you know, an individual with a disability that also needs to be respected and appreciated, and just trying to, you know, help everybody see the other person's perspective. And because we do have a not just a legal, but in my opinion, a moral obligation to help every student reach their fullest potential. And I'm excited to hear that you are doing that in your own life, even though you were never given the supports, it doesn't sound like, when you were going through school, that you said you weren't diagnosed with ADHD until you were an adult.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, with Hedgehog in the future, you know, the Hoglet, it is the base model of my patent. really, the next gen Hoglet, if you will. We don't know I'm not sure what the name of it will be. Just kind of preliminary working on it right now, but I have the patent for it, and it's, you know, a five senses learning tool that will give positive feedback to the user. And I know that, like, how important that is as a teacher as well, to give the student positive feedback in some way, shape, or form. And also, you know, obviously, like, you know, more than anyone, that, like, you know, there's auditory learners, like kinesthetic learners. So I want to try to have an option to at least, like, give the user an option to utilize that part of the device. So, and to clarify, the Hoglet here that you can see today, I'll show it really quickly, is simply...
I got mine.
We got the blue one here, and you have the grape one. So, yeah, this is simply just a tactile device, a fidget device built into the computer that's silent, which is, you know, silent. You don't hear it. So a bunch of kids could be using it in the room at once, and you're not going to be overwhelmed, and hopefully the student won't be overwhelmed by the noise, because there is not much. But yeah, just to clarify that, the one that we have here is just a tactile object. But next gen, I hope to build out software that works in concert with the next generation Hoglet that we will build out. I'm really excited about that, to, you know, further, you know, reach out to those kids. I mean, and again, this is not for everyone. There are some students and children and adults as well who are not sensory seekers. They would probably not enjoy the Hoglet. I would, you know, in the future, I'd like to make products and try to reach as many people as I can with them. So I don't know what those will look like. Trying to workshop with some friends and colleagues and figure out, you know, what the next cool product that we're rolling out will be.
Yeah. So the first comment that I put up there is from my daughter, and I won't be in possession of my Hoglet too long after this show is over because she has already like played with it. And she's like, yeah, I think I might need to take that home with me. But I do think I sold one for you yesterday, because on the thread where I posted this in Facebook, someone said, oh my gosh, I think I need that, and happens to live close to me. And so I took mine over, and she was like, oh yeah, I'm going to be getting one of those. And so, yeah, I mean, it's so cool. And this one really is just for the tactile input. And it was super easy to install. I mean, you have a few little directions, like what, four or five, like take it out of the box, take the back cover off, take the USB port out, put the USB port in your computer, put in the batteries, turn it on, and voila. I mean, it was that simple. And so my friend Fran is here. She was the one who said, great idea. And she knows that I am not super techie. And so for me to say that this is an easy install, it truly is an easy install. I mean, and the directions were right there. So it's something super simple. The one thing that I did realize, though, as I was showing it to the person who lives near me, is that it is wireless. So that didn't register with me when I was first like looking at it, and like that didn't just jump out at me. So have you found with the wireless, I mean, you have to have it wireless because the Hoglet is, so I'm gonna take this off and hopefully I don't like touch the mouse too much and move things all around on my computer. But yeah, I'm getting funny little messages on my screen here. But yeah, so I mean, you can take it off. Yeah. You can clean it, but it has to be the kind that has the hole in the middle. So you have to go with that particular mouse, right?
Yeah. So, so you're saying like, if you were to lose this or it gets damaged,
right.
Yeah. So we, you know, as a small business, if you message us and if somehow it gets broken, we can replace that. These things should not break. And to be clear, we do not actually create, we don't manufacture the mouse. We're not a mouse manufacturer. We manufacture this outer level or outer layer here of food grade silicone, which, by the way, can also, it's super easy to clean. You can put this in the top rack of your dishwasher. And yeah, if you want to do a simple clean, you just take like an alcohol swab and just wipe it like that. I do that, you know, every day for mine. If you, yeah, for whatever reason, this mouse gets damaged, we will replace it. It shouldn't. I mean, we picked a mouse that has, you know, the best, really like the best reviews and everything. But yeah, if you wanted to replace it, there's another mouse that can be found on Amazon, and we will send you that link as well if you'd rather get it in 2 days if you have Amazon Prime, rather than us shipping it to you and getting there a week later. So yeah, there's a variety of mice that fit in this actual mold here, but it is specifically kind of catered to two mice, maybe more. Maybe there's more that fit it, but it won't fit exactly, right? This is down to like hundredth of a millimeter fit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, the mouse itself is fine. It did take me, I'll be honest, it did take me a little bit, you know, because I'm not used to the circle, but I mean, whether it's the other kind or this, you know, I'm trying, like in my typical mouse, I have, you know, the one that's that way. Yeah, so, that's a very slight adjustment. This is a good question. Do you make them for smaller hands?
Very good question. We, as a matter of fact, not yet. Hopefully we sell enough that we can do another. We actually have sold enough that we are doing another run of manufacturing, which is awesome news. We're trying to beat the holiday rush. We've kind of gone through our first initial order, which I'm super excited about, because, you know, that was, we, you know, wanted to make this as like a proof of concept that we can, hey, let's make more of these devices and everything. Answer to the smaller hands thing. We haven't yet. That's something that's on the table. That is a question we've gotten a couple times. We do have, like, I mean, there are kids like as young as that I'm aware of, at least that are young as like 4 or 5, or, you know, have tiny hands, and they tend to, you know, just they just kind of put their hands higher up and they can still use the mouse, but maybe their hand is not covering the entire thing. So that's kind of like what I've gotten. So some kids don't like doing that. I would love to be accommodating to every hand size possible. We'll have to look into that with our next, you know, we're going to have to make new tooling and find a new mouse for that one. Find like a reliable small mouse, but that is a very good question. Hope to be able to have the success to actually make a smaller one coming up here in the future.
And do you know, I'm just thinking about a former student that I had who was left-handed. Yes. And so, you know, he had to use, instead of the index finger, as you know, like he would have his middle finger would be what normally we would say would be on the most used side. Do you know, and please don't worry if you don't, but is there such a mouse that it flips for left-handed people?
Yes, there are definitely left-handed mice out there. Some are ergonomically built, right? So just as you have like the right-handed ergonomically built mouse, there is, like, you know, obviously less left-handed people, but there are, they do have that build out. Also, there is a normal looking mouse that has, it's like the reverse, right? Like flipping the left and the right click. Mm-hmm. I have a couple former students who use this, and they're lefties, and they just, I guess they've used right-handed mice so often that they just flip it automatically in their brain, and they got used to it after a couple days. So there are certainly, you know, there's if you look at, you know, if you go on Amazon and you search computer mouse, there are quite a lot of there's a lot of competition, but as far as I know, this is the only, well, I know this for a fact, this is the only you know, fidget computer mouse right now. Hopefully we're not copied or anything, but it's only a matter
of, you know, they say imitation is the best form of flattery. However, I totally understand what you're saying, that when it's your business, you don't want to be, you know, imitated in the sense of stolen property, sort of speaking. But so see, again, here Fran is techie, and I'm not. Apparently you can switch it on your computer, which how the mouse buttons work. So
that is true. I think if you go in Fran, you could correct me if I'm wrong here. I think if you go into settings and accessories, or maybe I use a Mac, so this could be
different. Okay.
But yeah, going to settings, accessories, you can flip that left and right mouse, the function of it. So okay. Thanks, friend, for that's good info that I actually totally forgot about. But
like I said, she and I actually do a show together on Friday. It's called Friday with Fran. And yeah, so she has the technology and she spends a lot of time learning new stuff. And I don't take that time to learn the new stuff because I have her. So I very much appreciate that. Yeah. So you mentioned early. Well, let's talk about this one. Continue talking about this one first. So how long has this been out?
This has been out, so the genesis of this, you know, I created some demo models and some really rough demos. I made them out of like dog toys, kind of cutting them up and gluing them and in front of kids and kind of getting like feedback from, cause I was like, you know, like kids, young adults, these are probably going to be my main consumers. And really took note of what they said, like, this is too hard, this should be softer, this is too spiky. So I think, you know, we came across, like, basically I did a bunch of durometer tests too, like, and for those who don't know, durometer is like the hardness or softness of silicone, right? So I kind of think I found the sweet spot with this one. Feels great. We ended up going at creating a Kickstarter. We calculated myself and my co-founder, we calculated, you know, about how much it would be to create the tooling for this. This tooling is quite complex, if you can see here, like, and you see it in person, it's a complex tool that makes this, and it was expensive to create. But our fundraising goal was $65,000 for the Kickstarter. We ended up raising over $71,000. So we've got these January of 2022. So that they arrived in the U.S.
Okay.
So this is a really new product, and especially with COVID and people being reluctant to like go out and everything. I was invited to South by Southwest, and we had a table there. That was cool. That was my first time of actually getting in front of people. And we also had, I was passing these out too. These are a little
keychain
of like the Hoglet here. We sell these as well on, our Shopify site. They soon will be on Amazon. And I'll get to that stuff later, because our Amazon has actually pulled our product for a moment. Hopefully it'll be back up next week. They like mistakenly pulled it down, and it's been kind of a fight to get it back up. But you can get our for those who are asking, you can get we purchase these by going to hedgehoghealth.com and then click shop. It'll take us to our Shopify site, and we have all the products there, so you can buy. You buy this there. You can buy this. We actually have even like t-shirts and hats, like this one here, if you're interested in getting some merch. But yeah, to answer your question, January of 2022. So this is a new product, and that's why, you know, I'm just really trying my hardest to get in front of decision makers at schools. We've had a few really big orders from some schools that I've gotten in front of, and then they've ordered another one. So like they've ordered another big order. So from what I can tell, it's been a hit. And yeah, just trying to get these, the issue with them is like, you kind of have to like feel this thing to really understand. And Shelly, you have one right in front of you, right? It's kind of harder to convey how good this feels in your hand, how easily fidgetable it is.
Yeah.
You know, while you're on a long Zoom meeting, or if you're, you know, working from home, or if you're in a classroom on a computer. So again, it's been paramount for me to try to get this in front of people, but it also has been tough because of like the limited capacity crowds and everything at South by Southwest, for instance, and different venues of getting these, I guess, like in front of people.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how you ran into Catherine or how she found you, but I can tell you that every one of the master IEP coaches were so excited to play with these and find out about these. And I mean, we literally had people who were like, this is mine. You're not going away with it, you know? And it was like, and it is like, I mean, I'm not a big fidgeter. I do a little bit. But this is, I mean, it's very soft. It's not like felt soft, but I mean, for, you know, like a silicone, and just being able to, like, I'm getting some sort of sensory input just from like the little sound. I don't know if you can hear the sound that I'm doing with the, I don't really know where my microphone is on my headphones or, but, again, not techie. I just do things that people tell me to use. and so, yeah. And just like, just the feel of it and just kind of running it over, you know, your hand. And I imagine, you know, that some kids, they may need it like on their arm, you know, if they don't have anything else and this is all they have. And for $40, is this the price that it is like all the time?
So, again, Amazon's really, really messing us up right now because we do actually have, we have a sale. It is, I believe with, there's a coupon you can apply to it on Amazon. And again, I wish it was up right now, but unfortunately Amazon, I took it down for a false reason.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it should be put back up. Like, it was their mistake, but it, you know, such a big company, it takes forever. Right. There's a coupon to get it for $25. If you are with a school or an IEP coach or a teacher, message me either at hello@hedgehoghealth.com or parker@hedgehoghealth.com. I can get you that price. If you're a teacher, also for schools, I'm happy to give these, they'll give a few as samples just because I'm confident that like once these get into your school, there's going to be another order. I know it's not the greatest business plan, but I want to get these. Like, giving away products is not always like the smartest thing, especially for a new company that's, you know, a small kind of struggling company, but I just have faith in the products. And I know that so far when kids have seen it, the rest of the learners who fidget will want them. And there's a, you know, obviously we have special prices for bulk buyers and for for teachers as well as, you know, IEP consultants and IEP coaches. So just message me. I'll get it to you basically like to the point where it's like, we're not making that any money on the transaction, but I just want to get it out to schools.
Yeah. And like I said, the master IEP coaches, there wasn't enough for each of us to have one of our own. And so, yeah, I got mine after the fact, but you were very kind. And I even sort of like fought you on sending me one because I was like, you're a new company, you have to make money. But he did. He really did. He was like, no, I want you to have it. I want you, you know, so that you can promote it. You can, you know, let people know about it. Now, I mean, please don't everybody try to get one for free because we need him to have this business and we need him to make money so he can continue to do these things, but not just this one. So this is where now I want to switch to the one that you mentioned earlier. You know, you said this is sort of like the base model, but that you have a patent for one that involves all the senses. So tell the audience about that, because that one, this one is cool, but that one sounds amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that one is kind of my ultimate dream. And it's taken years to, well, it took me years to kind of decide how I wanted the patent to be written, working with a patent attorney, but my attorney advised me to, you know, the best way to get it through the patent office is to have it for all five senses. A couple of senses, as you can imagine, might be a little trickier, but the obvious ones, like, so right away off the bat, I knew I wanted it to, you know, sync up with software. So ideally, you know, we'd make our own games and then be able to basically have a Chrome extension and have this apply to existing educational games. And when the user gets X amount of problems right in a row, which can be basically like can be changed by the teacher or the parent through our app, right? You can make it a little bit easier or harder for the student. And also you, so basically like, they get a few problems right, it will vibrate. You get a few problems right, it'll light up, make a noise. So you have three senses there. And then, the hard one was like smell and taste. So,
right.
I know just from experience of being around people with ASD, like lavender is, and for all of us, right? Like lavender is a calming scent. So I created in the drawings for the patent, there's like a little undercarriage area where you put essential oils and where it could, you know, kind of proof out a little bit of lavender scent. I don't know if that's going to ever, you know, I'm not sure how much that'll cost to manufacture it and if it would put the price point way out of whack or whatever, but that's kind of part of it. Maybe even like the silicone, you can create scented silicone. So I could have the silicone actually be lavender scented, but it will fade over time.
Sure. Yeah.
And so that's the smell part of it. And then the taste part is, you know, obviously you can chew on this thing, but we wanted to Bluetooth it to a treat dispenser to give rewards as well. So basically, using all those and having software that basically spans, like we would love this Hoglet to be used across all subject levels. Like I'm just thinking of like a general school here, the structure of that, and being able to kind of keep track of and be a way for teachers to understand, like, okay, Johnny is excelling in math. Here are the scores. Here's the data. One other thing I forgot to mention is including a wearable with this. So like the final piece of this puzzle is including maybe some sort of a bracelet that monitors heartbeat. So I can tell as a teacher, okay, I have six people using a Hoglet. One of them, Johnny apparently is having, you know, a higher heart rate, a heightened heart rate. Maybe it's time to take a break from this and you know, go out in the hallway and get some water. So, you know, make it as basically interactive as you can. Get as much information as a teacher as I can. I could even, like, you know, based on that fact, if let's say we started division and this fictional student, Johnny, who I keep mentioning, has a spike of, a spike of pulse, I can tell that, okay, this is a subject that gives him anxiety, and maybe like I can carve out some time and work with him and teach him some methods to not be so anxious when it comes to division. So again, it's kind of a work in progress. And there's things that have been added, eliminated. Like, to be honest with you, the final product probably won't have all five senses built in because, you know, there's only so much room in this mouth for these like little motors and things to make things work. So probably like most likely things that it'll do will be vibrate, light up, make a noise. And then let's say your child does not like the noise, that could be, you know, through the app in my mind here, that could be turned off, right? Just kind of like an Alexa app where you can you can go on your phone and you can turn things on and off from that, and the device will correspond to it. So that's kind of, yeah. I don't know if I went too geek mode there and too in depth, but that's kind of like the master plan for the next Hoglet or whatever it'll be called.
No, that is so incredible. And especially the wearable to detect the heart rate, because I have said for years that so often teachers, if we could see what was going on inside the brains of some of our students or inside their central nervous system, our opinion of what they're doing would be completely different. And obviously, you know, you're not getting in there and seeing everything, but just the fact that, like you said, we have kids that there are certain entire subjects or there are certain aspects of subjects that really raise that heart rate. And if we had that data, then we absolutely could see, okay, this makes this person anxious. How can we reduce the anxiety. What do we need to, what skill is this person missing, or what is the setting that needs to be changed, or what can we do in the environment, or whatever? That's massive.
Totally. Yeah. And another thing I can relate to as well, like that was me in math, right? Like every time we had a standardized test, I mean, that's a whole nother subject too, but like,
yeah.
Anytime I even just had a math quiz, like a pop quiz in class, I would have like a mini anxiety attack, even if I was fully prepared for it. And, you know, I was lucky enough to even have a tutor, and I would still have these kind of mini anxiety attacks. Mm-hmm. And I think like you make some really good points with I guess like the benefits of a wearable. And another one is like, as a teacher, I could see a blind spot, right? Like if all of my students are like it can't be a coincidence. Like if every student in one, I guess one step of I keep using math, but you know, good reason why.
Yeah. Like, it's where your experience lies in. That's perfectly fine.
Exactly. Like, let's say like in PEMDAS, if there's like one step of that is tripping everyone up, then I know, okay, as a teacher, I must have not taught this well. Maybe I can give you another, like, let's try and do a few other examples of how I can, like, you know, teach this to the students, because obviously it's not them, it's me in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so cool. And I just want to say what PEMDAS stands for, because most people who aren't in education or who haven't, you know, been in education in a long time, that's how you do math problems. So it's parentheses, exponents, multiply, divide, add, subtract. Although adding and subtract, well, yeah, I'm not going to get into all that, but that's what that stands for.
that's
the order in which that's supposed to happen when you're doing certain math problems. Right. But absolutely, that is so valid and such a key point. And the one thing that I have discovered over the years is that we are really good often at taking data, but then we don't do anything with the data that is really beneficial. And so what would be, because oftentimes like standardized testing, we don't get the data from that standardized testing for months. And then typically we don't have those students in our class anymore. They've moved on to the next grade level. So how quickly would somebody be getting this data about, hey, this, you know, their heart rate is going up when they're doing this activity or when they're in this class?
So in my mind of this unbuilt app and system of education here, the way it would work is the teachers would have one version of the app, the students would have the student version or the child version, and in my mind it's in real time. So you know, again, we're going back to Johnny again. I can see Johnny is taking like during multiplication time. You know, he's averaging about a minute per problem. When it comes to division, as we spoke about, he's apprehensive and it's taking, you know, 10 to 15 minutes per problem. I can, again, in my mind, like I think you could graph that out over a period of time once you get enough data. And that would, like if the whole school is bought into using this, which I believe is a valuable tool or will be a valuable tool when I can build it out properly. Let's say like, you know, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, they're all bought in, all the teachers are using it. You can really chart improvement and, you know, hopefully improvement. Like hopefully, you know, you see basically the graph is going upwards in terms of efficiency. So I think that is, you know, number one, building out will be a challenge, but I think it's something that can be done. And I think, as you said, like using and implementing the data, having it be transparent to all teachers, having teachers be able to write, you know, internal notes about, oh, here's a trick with this particular student that helps them remember things, can be super helpful and have it passed on. Like I've actually been at some schools where, you know, I've gotten nothing, you know, unfortunately, about the students that's incoming. So I feel like any sort of data is helpful. This could just be another, you know, another tool to use.
Yeah. Well, I love that big dream that you have. Because that device, if it can come to fruition, I really think will be a game changer for education, kind of overall, but for individual students for sure. Because I mean, just in the Hoglet, you know, which that doesn't have all the bells and whistles that we're talking about in this other patent that you have. I mean, I can see this being a big deal for a lot of kids, because we do spend so much time on the computer now. You know, with kids doing a lot of times with independent work, you know, it's go to the computer and, you know, get on this application or this website or that website. And oftentimes that's what's considered an unstructured time. And kids find themselves not knowing what to do in unstructured times, or they find that because it's unstructured, they get a little anxious. They get a little, I don't even really know what, I guess anxious or needing sensory input. And so if they're at the computer during that time and they need that, I mean, this Hoglet is going to be able to give some kids, like you said, you know, it's not going to be for everybody. Right. You know, there are people who this kind of sensory input isn't what they need, and that's fine.
Right.
But I can see a lot of people needing and utilizing the Hoglet as it is right now. And I love that you're talking about, you know, how you learned when you were in Thailand about like gamifying education in a way that disappoints me that we need to gamify education because, you know, it's not an easy thing to do, but I understand the reason behind that wording, because this is what our kids do a lot now.
Right. Exactly. And when I say gamify too, I don't necessarily mean, well, I definitely don't mean just in using tech and computers. I know that this is a product that is involved with computers, but I definitely encourage teachers to get outside. You know, like that, I don't know. As a teacher, by a lot of like the games that I created were kind of like competitive games where, you know, there's really like no winner or loser, but all the kids were kind of, they had a job and they were encouraging each other positively to do something, and then there's a good outcome at the end for both teams. I think that type of game is fun. I think as long as, you know, there's a game, one of the first games I learned in Thailand was this game called Go Fish, and it was very simple. We just had like little wooden rods. I created, I got a string and a magnet and then put some math facts on the ground, and all the kids are chanting, "Go fish, go fish." And they, you know, pull it up and had to, it was almost like a little relay race. I had to read the facts and answer it. So I love, you know, as a teacher, that type of stuff, I think, brings the classroom together. I think it creates camaraderie, teach a little bit of like, you know, a little bit of like, sometimes someone's going to win, sometimes someone's going to lose, and everything's going to be fine at the end. And you can work as a team and all those good things that you learn as a child that you'll need to use when you're an adult too. So definitely like away from the, I'm definitely not advocating that you, that a teacher just like plops a child in front of the computer and like, and then there you go. But I think when they are on a computer during that precious time, for me at least, I need to be focused. I'm actually, you know, I've been playing with this the whole time because that is the way that I focus, right? I need to have some little extra stimulation to really be in it. And I think a lot of kids are like that as well. So, you know, the time can be long when you're on a computer. The time, like, not everything is going to be super exciting that you're doing, right? Like, you may be doing, as we talked about, a standardized test now on a computer or something that's just not one of those, like, car games where, you know, that the kids tend to love. You know, it might just simply be the facts on a computer or sentences that they have to fill in. So, I think it's important to, while they are on the computer, that they're being as productive as they can.
Yeah, and absolutely. Standardized tests. I'm in Southern Illinois, and for 4 or 5 years now, standardized tests have been on the computer. Maybe even, I was trying to think, I think it is actually even longer than that doing the standardized test have all been done on the computer. There is no filling in bubbles or paper pencil things anymore. And I'm thinking that that's pretty much across the country that standardized testing is on the computer. And that absolutely is hours of, you know, staying at your seat, or at least a full hour, you know, before you're allowed to get up and do anything or have any kind of movement. So absolutely that would work for there. So I'm thinking like in school settings, because as we mentioned, to some people, not only is this not going to work for them, but it could be of a detriment to them. So do you recommend, or have you found, you know, like having a computer, if there's schools that have computer labs, you know, that each person who needs it brings their own in, or do you recommend that they're just already there and connected to certain computers and the kids just go to those computers? Or have you really thought about, like, because I'm thinking, okay, when I've been in school settings and it's time for the second grade to go to computer lab, you know, 25, 30 kids go into the computer lab, everybody gets on their computer. Sometimes they have assigned seats, sometimes not, depends on, you know, the style of that school. And then they get going on something. So I'm just like thinking logistics in my head.
Yeah, I'd say that's a great question. And the answer I have for that is, I think it depends. It really depends on the setup. For instance, like I know some of my teacher friends, they have Chromebooks in their classrooms, and like each Chromebook is assigned to like each individual student. You know, they're lucky enough to have that set up, and that's great. And in terms of like, I know that Chromebook has a trackpad, but in terms of getting kids ready for like the next level of like, hey, they're going off to high school and there will be a computer lab, and they have to get used to using a mouse. And, you know, I personally like to use a mouse anyways, even though my computer is a trackpad here, just because it's just less cumbersome. The motor skills are required to use that, or use a mouse, much less, challenging. I think it depends, right? Like if you have an influx of students coming into a computer lab, it might be best if they're already plugged in and ready, like the dongle was plugged into the USB and the mouse is just there ready to go. In that case, I would definitely encourage wiping it down because you have different people using it. There's another teacher that I know who she has like waves of students that go into computer lab, and they actually they will keep the mouse just there, like the inner part of the mouse there, and the child will come with their own personal cover, and then they'll cover it, which is kind of like a little bit more of a sanitary way to do it if you think about it, because you know this is my thing. I'm in charge of keeping it clean. I'm putting it over what might be a dirty mouse. Hopefully everything is like wiped down in the first place, right, especially after COVID here, but who knows. I think that might be the better way to do it in that situation, but I guess I would leave it up to the teachers. Like they know best, or the computer techs and everything. And again, it's not for everyone. So maybe if you have them all just like out, a child would not want to use it. And in that case, you know, they can always just take this off and use it as a regular mouse. That's always an option as well.
Yeah. And we did, and you kind of just touched on it, but how easy are they to clean? Like, what do you use if you don't, because I know you mentioned earlier putting it in the dishwasher, but obviously you're not going to be able to do that after a, you know, computer lab full of kids comes in. So what is like, can you just wipe it down or?
Yeah. Like a simple wipe that, I'm trying to think, like those little.
Can you use like the antibacterial, like the Clorox or the Lysol?
100%. Yeah, that's what I usually use. Like that you see around classrooms too, to like wipe down a table. One of those like Clorox things. Like this is super durable. I mean, I have yet to see anybody rip this thing apart or be able to break it somehow. I haven't seen it be stained in any fashion yet. So from what I've heard and what I've experienced, you can just wipe it down with any material like that. I mean, you could spray it and with like a cleaner and wipe it down with a paper towel.
Sorry, that's my home phone ringing.
No worries at all. And yeah, the only way that you'd really have to put this in a dishwasher is if it got super, super gnarly and dirty. That's like the most extreme, right? Like if, let's say some kid came in from recess with just the mud all over their hands and really got it deep into these nub areas, like into the crevice in between there. That's really the only reason why you might need that. Another way to do it is if it got really gross, use like a little scrub brush or an old toothbrush or anything like that. But I've never seen them get that dirty. I mean, that's one of the good things about, so, you know, food grade silicone is, it's just super easy to clean and it doesn't really get to that point.
Yeah, that's, and it does. I mean, I can see it being really easy to clean, and I sub now. I'm not a full-time teacher anymore. And when I've gone into computer classrooms, kids bring in their own headphones now, you know, because they, so that everybody can have comfortable headphones for themselves. And so I could easily see, you know, this just being another thing that they bring with them from home. And it is, I mean, it is really easy to take this off and put this on. Oops. It helps if you, oh no, what did I just do? I'm pressing mouse buttons and things are happening that I'm like, oh, what's going on? Oh, okay. There we go. Things were disappearing. And so, yeah, I wouldn't recommend having the mouse on while you're putting the hoglet on or taking it off, because you could have things happen like I just did where, you know, things disappear and you didn't mean for them to. But yeah, I mean, I certainly could see, you know, like I said, they have a little baggie where their headphones are. Some school districts, they have those in, they keep all headphones in a computer lab, and they have, you know, like these are the first grade headphones, and you know, it's on a baggie and the kid's name is on it, you know, so kids go to that, they grab it, they put it on, they plug it into the computer that they're working on, and away they go. And I could easily see the hoglet, you know, also being in that little baggie for those kids who need it, because as we mentioned, not everyone's going to need it. Or, and I don't want to say that they want it, because to me there is a very different, very big difference between a kid who needs it and a kid who wants it. Probably you're going to have a lot of kids who see the kid using it, who needs it, and be like, I want one of those. That looks cool. Right. I think that would again have to be determined on an individual basis.
Exactly. I mean, like when they, I remember like the age of the fidget spinner when that became in vogue and then started getting banned. I mean, you don't want to, you know, God forbid, like you don't want it to get misused or anything. Or the good thing about this is it is quiet. It's a functional fidget. That's what I like to say about this thing. Whereas like the fidget spinner, you know, it's a fidget. It's not going to help you get your work done. Like whereas when you're using this, you're able to actually do your work. And yeah, I think like, you know, it tends to feel pretty cool in most people's hands. Like again, you mentioned it's not for everyone. There are people who will absolutely like hate the texture of this, no doubt. So I think that person would not want to use it, but yeah, I mean, certainly it's not for everyone. And I would hate to hear it was like being abused or anything like that. And the cool thing about this is like, I love this. There's no stigma attached to it. You know, whereas like it most like so far what I've heard from my teacher friends are kids are like, that's so cool. You know, we make them in five really vibrant colors. Like if you think of a traditional computer lab, it's just drab and, you know, beige looking. So when I created these, I wanted them to actually stand out, draw the eye, for kids. Like, I think this looks cool. I'm kind of a big kid. I think the colors pop and they make, I mean, even if you're using it in your cubicle, I mean, I've had some cubicle jobs where I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so depressing. I'm looking at beige walls, a beige screen, like it's a little pop. It gives, and you'll definitely get some comments around work, and it's a good conversation start at the very least. So even for adults, it's a cool thing. If you're, you know, in the office and you're finding yourself, hey, I'm on Zoom calls for hours and I need something to liven my area up. But, you know, it's good for all ages.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that they each have a fruit name. And, you know, maybe eventually when you get to the part of them being something that has a taste associated with it, you know, you've already got what you're going to make them taste like built in based on the name that they're already having. So
there you go. Yes, totally. And yeah, and if we ever get to, you know, the actually creating learning games too, we have kind of like a potentially a grape character. We have a watermelon character.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's awesome. Yeah.
So hopefully that happens down the road here. We, you know, always looking for people to collaborate with. If there's anyone out there watching who has ideas of how we could advance this, either, you know, this is how it could be improved, or, hey, I know somebody who'd like to help you fundraise. Cause like that's the big part about this is that, you know, the first time we did it, it was Kickstarter. You know, that's one way to raise funds, but, you know, in terms of doing something with software, it's a much larger undertaking and the price goes up exponentially. So we'll have to see what happens in the next steps here. But would love to hear from your audience of just like anything, like good, bad, ugly. Like give me your thoughts. And also, if you're, I will reiterate too, like if you're with a school, your school, I'm happy to, you know, send a couple for kids to try out, for IEP consultants to try out. Just trying to get it out in the world and get some good vibes going with it.
Yeah. So just very quickly, Shark Tank was the thing. And I actually know someone who kind of went through a lot of the steps and was like at the step right before they accept you. So I can certainly put you in contact with that person to see maybe if they have any tips on how to get at least as far as they did, if not further. But I mean, what you're proposing, I absolutely think would be a game changer, you know, and it would just be getting those Shark Tank judges to see that and truly understand the need for it and what it could really do for students. So we are at the end of our show already. That seemed to go super quick. So I just want to make sure that you have said everything that you hoped to say today. And if not, now is your opportunity to do so.
Well, yeah, well, number one, thank you, Shelly. Again, it's such an honor to be on hashtag No Limits. And I've learned a lot from you on this chat. I hope your audience has learned about the Hoglet. I'd love it if number one, follow us on our social, see what's going on. We are at Hedgehog Health, like across, you know, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. Please give us a follow. I would love to chat too if you have any ideas of how we could advance our brand and advance our products and everything. You know, if you're a teacher who's experienced, I'd love to hear from you. So, or a parent who's worked with kids or IEP coach. So please reach out. Thank you so much. That's all I have to say. And thank you, Shelly. It's been an honor to be on your episode.
Oh, I so appreciate you coming on. It's been wonderful to learn more about the Hoglet. As my advertisement was today when I saw it, I was like, I need to know more about that. And I'm so honored that you were able to find time in your schedule to be on here with me today. You are episode 98, and I'm very excited that 100 is just around the corner in 2 more weeks. And I'm hoping to do sort of a little giveaway. And I'm hoping by that point that I have at least 100 subscribers. I'm getting closer every day, it seems like, on YouTube. So if you haven't subscribed to me on YouTube, be sure to do that. And if I get to the 100th before my 100th episode, I certainly will have something for that 100th subscriber. So make sure to share this. Anybody who's watching, again, thank you for being on, Parker. It's been so good to get to know you and to talk to you. I'll see you all next time.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.